Price-fixing allegations force out a top banker.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio in for Jeremy Hobson today. First, it was the chairman of the board said he was leaving his post. Now it's the big man, Barclays CEO Bob Diamond, who's stepping down effective immediately. The London-based financial services giant is accused of rigging the level of a key interest rate, along with nearly two dozen other banks. Joining me live from London is Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Stephen, good morning.
Hello, David.
So we're clear on this. What is the allegation at the center of this Barclays scandal?
Okay, well, this is a curious little system that's been operating here in London for many years to produce a key benchmark interest rate, the rate at which banks lend to each other. What happens is a company goes separately to 18 major international banks in London and asks them, how much did you pay to borrow from other banks today? The company then takes all those reported interest rates and uses them to work out this key so-called LIBOR rate, which is then used as a basis for trillions of dollars worth of loans and mortgages around the world. What Barclays has been fined for and what Diamond has resigned over is because it was found to have lied about its borrowing costs and profited both from pushing up and pulling down the LIBOR rate.
Well, lying is one thing, but what about when you hear words like market manipulation or collusion? One assumes the activity itself is against the law.
Well, this is the extraordinary thing. British prosecutors are investigating whether or not it is a crime. Because it's such an amateurish, voluntary, ramshackle operation, there's some doubt about whether rigging it was a crime, even though LIBOR plays this crucial role in the global financial system. Arlene McCarthy is a member of the European Parliament, and she's pressing for this kind of interest rate rigging to be made illegal across Europe. She believes it would be illegal in the United States.
The key issue here is, as we've seen in the US, we can have a criminal investigation and that they can go to prison, custodial sentences, because, frankly, ordinary people go to prison for much less.
But European law will have to be changed, just as some banks were too big to bail. Under current law, it seems, some British bankers are too difficult to jail.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you very much.
OK, David.
A group of former bank regulators in the U.S., company CEOs and some U.S. senators, all volunteers, is trying to make some waves in Washington this election year. They're concerned about the slow progress in fixing flaws in bank rules that led to the big financial crisis. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
They call themselves the Systemic Risk Council, led by the former chair of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, Sheila Bair. The council wants to put teeth in the Dodd-Frank reforms passed in 2010. Bair is especially worried about congressional efforts to defund the cops on the regulatory beat.
We will be making public statements and trying to bring public attention to this and some counterweight to, no doubt, there was a lot of industry lobbying behind that move. And that's really unfortunate and very short-sighted, I might say, on the industry's part.
Former Senators Bill Bradley and Alan Simpson are on the council, as is former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker is an advisor. Columbia Law School's Ira Milstein is the group's legal counsel.
We have no axe to grind. We simply want to point out that we're frustrated and it isn't happening, and something's got to be done about it.
Another member, former Senator Chuck Hagel, who served on the Senate Banking Committee, knows what the conventional wisdom is when it comes to outside groups trying to influence policy.
We have no power, but we do have some aspects of, we hope, knowledge, experience, and maybe even some credibility.
Of course, it is an election year, and Princeton historian Julian Zelizer says these voices, as experienced as they are, will be drowned out.
The reasons Congress is so gridlocked on this issue are very deeply rooted, ranging from the interest groups who support a weak administration of these kind of regulations to ideological resistance of the government doing too much. And so to overcome that will require more than some prominent voices saying we need to change the way things work.
Council members remain undaunted. They'll do what they can, they say, to persuade Congress and regulators to act on the lessons of the financial crisis. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
I also want to point out that yesterday we incorrectly reported on new rules requiring for-profit colleges to show that former students were able to repay student loans or risk losing federal financial aid. Prior to AIR, a federal judge overturned those rules, seeing them as arbitrary and capricious. Now let's do the numbers. London's FTSE 100 index at the moment is up 0.4%. The CAC 40 index in Frankfurt up 0.1%. In China, the Shanghai Composite Index also closed up 0.1%.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
According to the Justice Department, it's the biggest settlement in a healthcare fraud case in history. GlaxoSmithKline, the big British drug maker, will pay $3 billion in fines and compensation to the U.S. government and U.S. states. That's for pushing doctors to prescribe drugs for uses that were not approved by the FDA and for failing to inform U.S. regulators of potential dangerous side effects. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The drugs involved in Glaxo's guilty plea are Paxil and Wellbutrin, both antidepressants, and Avandia, a diabetes drug. Glaxo's aggressive sales force encouraged doctors to prescribe the antidepressants to young people, even though that hadn't been approved by the FDA. They offered perks like ski trips to Colorado and pheasant hunting junkets in Europe. Bob Goldberg of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest says Glaxo falsely touted Paxil's effectiveness.
Glaxo was claiming that it reduced certain forms of depression in kids, even though they had not gone through the usual studies to support that data.
Glaxo's marketing force sometimes plugged the antidepressant Wellbutrin to doctors as the, quote, happy, horny, skinny pill to encourage them to prescribe it off-label for weight loss and ADHD in young people. In the case of Avandia, Glaxo withheld crucial safety information about heart health from the FDA. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, a Buddhist temple in China where mothers go to pray for the well-being of their children is poised for a big offering of stock. The Putuo Mountain initial public offering seeks to raise $118 million. But Bloomberg News notes that government officials overseeing religion in China recently expressed reservations about religious sites making a profit. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.